have to say that this is perhaps one of the most difficult Remembrance Sundays I have had in my 20 years as a minister. I have no easy connection to any of the wars. My father is too young to have done national service. My grandfather on my father's side worked at the top of the mines, not in the mines, and so therefore didn't have to go to war. My other grandfather was in the Air Force, but he ended up in Egypt and saw very little of the war. One of my great-grandfathers on my father's side did fight in the First World War, and I know that members of the family have been to see the stone. My great-grandfather, who became a Church of Scotland minister, was wounded in the war, and one of his legs was always scarred with the shrapnel from that. But I don't feel an easy connection. I have never felt that this was something that I had to remember or be part of. And yet, for some reason, this year, for so many people, the pain and the remembering seem particularly significant. It has been fascinating to be in this building throughout this week as these banners have hung and these soldiers who are not there, but there, have sat. And to watch people trail in and out of the building in the 2 hour period that we have been open. At times it has been eerily silent, even with 20 or 30 people in the building. Each coming with a memory, each coming with a thought of someone or something. And yet knowing that this was the place where they felt peace would embrace them. But what kind of peace is this? 100 years on, what kind of peace is this? It may be peaceful here, but war still wages, and wars that are the result of not talking properly at the end of the Second World War. Wars that happen because we cannot live with difference. That we cannot believe that we have been made to be the people that we are and to respect those differences. How peaceful would our world be if we valued the person sitting next to us? If we valued the person that we met in the street? If we didn't believe another continent was a foreign shore, but accept instead the extension of humanity? The gospel invites us to be perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect, or as Rosie put earlier, and perhaps more easily to live by, to be whole as our Father in heaven is whole. It's an invitation to recognize that God creates us in God's wholeness. We may never carry all of the qualities that the divine around us carries, but we carry some of them. We only create the whole when we come together to be the whole. I found a little thing during the week where it spoke about about an understanding of how we understand what happens in communion as perhaps an understanding of trying to be perfect. Whenever we receive communion, we come to the table knowing that we are flawed and we have failed. We come knowing that, and yet we are invited to come to receive the wholeness of God. As we leave from the table, having received the wholeness of God, we go to be the people of God made whole, to share that in the world. In the knowledge of remembrance, in the knowledge that we have failed, in the knowledge that peace does not reign, may we believe that having found peace here in this building, in the silences that we have created today, may we believe that the wholeness of God for creation is still possible. And may we share that with the world. Let us be the voices that challenge when anger rises. Let us be the gentle voice that seeks the path where each is understood. Let's talk to politicians who believe that we live in a divided world. Let's show to governments that we can be a community. May we build the peace that God inspires us to live. Amen.